The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. You're on Man in Line today. It's open line through till 1, so whatever's on your mind. All you need to do to get in touch is call 661368. Text or WhatsApp on 166177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Well, with a view to the fact that it seems that Jersey Telecom and Manx Telecom are going to merge, we don't quite know what the details are. Kira, the Isle of Man's communications regulator, is asking for your views on plans to make broadband more affordable to those who are struggling with the cost of access. There's a research thing going around that they'd like you to get involved with. And also, the story about the Old Prince's Garage site on the Douglas Bend in Laxey. That's looking at that. And also, talking about the steam packet. And when you're in and out of territorial waters, when the bar can be open. Do you know the regulations on that? Right, let's get to the phones first of all. Chris is with us on Man in Line. Hi, Chris.
Andy, good morning. Two subjects, if you don't mind. Minimum rate of pay and, secondly, and separate, the Isle of Man's energy security strategy, or rather lack of it.
Okay.
If we can just turn to minimum rates of pay. The discussion at the moment about minimum rates of pay, I think, is completely missing a very, very significant point. And that point gives effect to private sector trying to resist to some degree and government, as it were, being the benefactor saying, no, you must do this. But if you do some analysis of the minimum rate of pay increase over the last 5 years, 2021 to 2025, what's very significant indeed is the fact that, A, the annual tax-free allowance has only gone up from 14,000 to 250, from 14,250 to 14,750. The 10% rate has stayed at 6,500 per individual, and the NI threshold rate has only gone up, well, less, significantly less than everything else. So the sum total of this, Andy, is that back in this is based, if anybody wants to check my numbers, if you use as the baseline somebody on a minimum rate of pay in 2021 working a 40-hour week on full-time work, the government took 8% of their salary. Okay. Now, because they haven't increased the thresholds on the matters we've just discussed there, by the time you get to 2025, the government is taking almost 15% of the salary of somebody on a minimum rate of pay. So where is the massive inequity here? First of all, it's for the person on the low rate of pay anyway, because government's taking more and more of their money. Secondly, all the effort and excuse me, and energy has to fall on the private sector trying to make their businesses more efficient and more productive in order to increase these rates of pay. But government is expressing itself as an organisation that cannot improve its efficiency and productivity, and therefore increases tax and insurance on the low paid. And I do hope that this issue starts to be picked up, because what the government is actually saying is, look, let's get the minimum rates of pay up so we can get more tax and insurance back. It's quite disingenuous.
I mean, Chris, are you saying, I mean, according to this research, correct me if I'm wrong there, you're saying that from 2021 to 2025, a person doing a full-time job on the minimum rate of pay was contributing 8% to the government coffers and is now almost double. Is that true?
Yes. Yes, it is. Let me just give you an example. In 2021, somebody on the minimum rate of pay was in. Now, remember, this is 40-hour week, so on a minimum rate of pay would be paying roughly £1,380 tax insurance. By the time you get to 2025, it jumped, wait for it, to £3,800 plus. Now, what government is doing is saying, look, businesses, you've got to pay your people more. Why? Because we want more tax insurance back, and we can't be bothered to get our operations productive and efficient. So you take the burden and we take the credit for forcing you to put the rates of pay up. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything fundamentally wrong with pushing minimum rates of pay. I've never been somebody who wants to see people underpaid. But the point is, the actual take-home pay would increase if government made itself much more productive and efficient. And quite honestly, it's a scandal that they're not doing it.
Okay, I mean,
that's the first point.
Just to say, if those figures are correct, I've no reason to doubt them at all. But surely, if this is true, the government knew this would happen. They knew the consequences.
Of course they did. I mean, I was raising this with the Treasury back in 2015, saying, what are you doing with these low thresholds for the low paid? And you know the answer I got, honestly? Well, we need this money. We've got no choice. So they just shrugged their shoulders. I mean, quite honestly, Treasury needs a complete review in the next House, because this one's not going to do it.
Okay.
Anyway, in the second subject, Isle of Man Energy Security Strategy. Now, I don't know whether people are aware of this, but last week or the week before, it became evident, it was evident that the Isle of Man's energy security strategy collapsed. If anybody wants evidence of that, they need to go to your website and go to your podcasts and go to Perspective Programme, 19th of October. That's important. I would encourage people to go onto your website and listen to that program. What's that program about? That program, Perspective by Phil Gorn, is actually a recording of the highlights of the MU talking to the Environment and Infrastructure Policy Review Committee. The committee was trying to examine where we're up to with regard to the transition. Now, extraordinarily, if people listen into that program, I do hope they do. MU, the two people there were Phil King, who's the CEO, and Simon Clegg, who's the chief financial officer, I beg your pardon. And when the committee, this is the standing committee in Tynwald, asked them, okay, so how are we getting on with the new interconnector? Now remember, Andy, and for those who don't appreciate this, the whole of our energy security strategy and attempt to move to intermittent renewables was predicated on the principle that we were going to have an additional interconnector, and that the power station would close in sort of 20. It would only run till 2035. Now, with that information as a background, if you then go to the Policy Review Committee asking the questions of MU, they said, oh, well, look, when we first looked at the interconnector, the cost was going to be 100 million. But now it's in the region of 200 million. And frankly, that's too much. So now, if you take that as verbatim from MU, that means that if you predicted further forward again, you're talking about an interconnector that's going to cost something in the region of £250 million. And I think MU know full well that it's beyond them. So the committee then started asking questions about, well, you know, what's the score with the power station? Oh, well, you know, the answer there was, you know, it's going to continue. And then one of them mentioned something called HVO. And the committee members asked, well, what's HVO? And that, they were then told, is it's a vegetable oil anyway.
Oh, hydrogenated,
that's the word, hydrogenated vegetable oil. Thanks, Andy. And now, of course, hydrogenated vegetable oil is something that comes from waste oils, etc. And there are a limited number of generating facilities, but they're not mainstream. And the Ireland, I think, is going to bring a power station in, but it's only an HVO one. It's only going to be used as sort of a backup. So what? And then let me just refer to your program last Friday. I think it was Friday, when David Quirk of the Energy Sustainability Centre was entertained in the studio by the then host. And the question of, okay, once you've got the intermittent green energy supply in place, how do you make up the base load when the wind and the sun isn't there, etc.? And there was an extraordinary exchange then, which where David Quirk was talking about hydropower. Now, I think later in the programme, I don't know who it was. It was either Juan or Julian who came on and just tore into the whole concept of hydropower because of the extraordinary cost. So what I'm saying here is that the stance that Tim Wald has taken in the whole of this administration with regard to trying to create an energy security strategy has fallen flat on its face. And what I'm saying is, and they won't admit it, the current House won't admit it, because they saw, right at the beginning of the House, they rushed to climate righteousness, and they weren't dealing with what really matters, which is a carefully costed business strategy. And the current position is we're in a complete mess. So what needs to happen is the next House, when it comes in, has got to say, okay, guys, we're in a complete mess here. Let's step back and let's get some really high quality, completely independent advice to help us and guide us towards what ultimately should be a green agenda. Right now, because this current House has been determined to rush its fences, it's rushing us into all sorts of costs. It's confusion and it's dangerous.
Okay. All right. Chris, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Thanks.
Good to hear from you. 18 minutes past 12 and David's with us now. Hello, David.
Hi, Randy. Now for something completely different. I sent you the AGM, not the AGM, the list for the Legislative Council meeting, which is tomorrow.
Yes.
On the 28th there, where at 1:30 the doors will be open, and at least 13 to 14 plus local authorities are going to give evidence to the Legislative Council over the Act, the Local Government Act amendment there. So I'm hoping that a lot of local authority members who can have the time off will come there and actually listen to what's that going to debate. I don't know whether it's going to be on the radio, Andy, and I've asked Manx Radio, is that going to happen? I don't think it does on that particular one. But I don't know, it may be of interest to Manx Radio or other news items there to make sure that we get a fair crack of the whip.
Well, I think it's interesting to everybody because a lot of the public are kind of bemused by this. They don't know whose side's on, you know, who's on which side and who's on the side of the ratepayer.
Well, I think the local authorities are definitely on side of the ratepayer. I don't know what the political members from the DOI are doing. It'll be interesting to find out. Well, we know on some of them, don't we? You received a copy of a letter which the minister wrote out to try and torpedo any actions that are coming forward, but she's a bit late on that. Because the way I look at it myself, and it's my only opinion on that, is she was trying to say, we've already done this. All you local authorities need to back off, because we're the DOI, we're the government agency that looks after you, and we're telling you the truth. Well, to me, it's not the case at all. We've never been given a fair crack of the whip. We weren't consulted on it at all. And it was one of the members, Mr. Hooper from Ramsey, who created this, and he just seems to create issues that it'll drag him into 2026, and hopefully somebody will challenge him next year.
Okay, all right. We appreciate that, David. Thanks for calling.
All right, mate, cheers.
All right, 21 minutes past 12. Here comes Wilf now. Hello, Wilf.
Hi there. I haven't been on for a little while, but what it was, I was supposed to go to the meeting up in Laxey about the sewerage at Axenfell, and yeah. I missed it. And I was just going to, well, try and give them a bit of advice. But I did that years ago in Ramsey, but they didn't take it, of course. And now we've got a worse situation than we ever had, in as much as the poisons is still going out to sea.
Right.
But it's worse than that.
So regarding Axenfell, what's your advice?
My advice is very simple. Well, it probably, I don't know about the building of it and the costs of it and all the rest of it, but forget going up there. All they want to do is do what I told them to do in Ramsey, but they didn't do it. Because every sewerage system that's mentioned in Peel, in Ramsey, in Laxey, wherever, nobody has mentioned taking the poisons out. Now that's the bit that matters. Actually, raw sewerage in Ramsey, as far as I know, never did anybody any harm, in as soon as it appeared, the gulls got it, the fish got it, the crabs got it, it's gone. Because we had a sewerage system, an old sewerage system, which operated when the tide turned. It worked on a float switch, which opened the door at the end of it, at the outfall end, and it ran north, and it disappeared, and we never seen any of it. Never come on the beach, anything. But years ago, or a few years ago, unknown to me, and me being a commissioner for 20-odd years, and I was not told, none of the commissioners were told, we ended up with too many people for our ancient sewerage system in Ramsey, and it couldn't cope. It's too much coming down the pipe.
Right.
So what they did, instead of it opening on an outgoing tide, they took the door off and the float switch off, and they let it go 24 hours. And that's when the trouble got. That's when all the complaints were, because it was ending up on the beach. All these various things ending up on the beach.
Yeah.
And then we ended up spending these millions to pump it uphill and then let the water come back down, which is the water which is full of poison anyway. But they forgot to put all the... I don't know why they forgot, but they just didn't put the door back on or the float switch. So now it runs 24 hours. Whichever way the tides are going, it takes the water out 24 hours a day. Now, my idea for Laxey was the same thing. I don't know about the diameter of the pipe they would require. Does that require to be made any bigger? I don't know. I don't know where the outfall is in Laxey, but all it needs is extending three times as long. If you're not going to take the poisons out, you might as well not take the solids out and let the gulls carry on as they used to. And it's gone out into the tide stream, and it's gone. It's finished. But if you're not going to take the poisons out, what is the point of taking anything else out?
When you
say all a million, yeah.
When you say take the poisons out, what do you mean? Is this why we end up with grey water?
Yes, well, we put the poisons in.
Yeah.
Everybody, including me, puts Mr. Harpick, etc., down the toilet.
Yeah.
Thinking we're doing a wonderful job, but we're not. We're only making our toilet smell nice and keeping our toilet clean. But the water, they're only taking the solids out, Lassie and Ramsey, they take the solids out, take that to Mary Vague, that's dried out, and I think burnt in the incinerator, but I'm not sure about that. they wanted to put it on the land, but the farmers won't have it, so that's fair enough. But if it's all gone to sea like it used to, but it doesn't do anybody any harm as long as it's away from the people. It's as simple as that. Poisons and solids.
Right. So
as long as it's far enough away, it's right.
Wilf, where does the strawberry smell come from then at Balladool?
That's when it starts to smell on the beach. So they put their own chemicals down to make it smell nice.
Oh, they put...
Now, what them chemicals...
Oh, they put chemicals in to make it... I thought it was somebody vaping because there's a smell of strawberries there.
Well, that's what it is. They put it down at Balladool and that's what runs back down to our beach, and it's to make it smell nice. And, of course, sometimes at Balladool, you can't... Well... operate, if you like, dumping your rubbish or whatever for the smell that's already there. You've got to gag and get out quick, you know.
Okay.
It just depends which way the wind is.
Right.
But okay. That is the answer. Get it away from the people.
So your recommendation then to Garth is to extend the outpipe 3 times further and forget the rest.
Yeah. That's it. Just forget it. It's all gone to sea and it's gone. And it'll not, and the gulls will have something to eat, and it'll disappear. Everything will disappear. The sea for the whole world has always been a dustbin, and it still is. It's as simple as that.
All right. Okay. Wilf, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Okay.
12:28, and Adam's on now. Hi, Adam. We're trying to find Adam.
This is to do with Manx.net. Signed up for Manx.net, £65, and within a few minutes, the bank had contacted me to say they'd taken the money out immediately. As I understand it, that wasn't going to be taken out till the 1st of January. So I asked them if I could cancel it, and they said their policy is not to refund money. I think this is really, really sharp practice, and I think the Isle of Man public should stand together. And I've already contacted the Trade in Standards with this issue.
Has this affected you? Have you signed up for this new, you can't bend it, brand new industrial-sized telecom company we're going to have merging with Jersey, and this new Manx.net? I thought it was supposed to start in January. If you've signed up for it, has the money gone? Would seem a bit. Did they say the money was going to go straight away? I thought you signed up for it, and then come the 21st of January, that's when the money will be taken out. Have you got any experience of this?
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
There is a charity on Ireland where you can talk in confidence about your or someone you care about's relationship with alcohol, drugs, gambling, or gaming. Motivate Addiction Services are here to help with free, confidential one-to-one and group support. To find out more or to support Motivate through fundraising or donations, go to motivate.im. That's MOTIV and the number 8.im. This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Dear Santa, this Christmas I would like more customers and more sales, please. I have been very good.
There are more reliable ways to make sure your business gets what it needs this winter. At Manx Radio, we'll create tailor-made advertising solutions to get you the results you want over the festive season and into the new year. Call our friendly sales team now on 682620 and give your business a really happy Christmas and New Year with the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Can I have a new bike too?
No, buy your own.
Oh!
You get more at the Man Inn. On Saturday the 22nd of November, sing and dance a night away at our fabulous Paloma Faith Tribute Night. Tickets, just £60 per person, include dinner and entertainment. Or enhance your evening with an overnight stay and breakfast for an extra £100 per room. Booking essential. Call 602-555. Visit maninhotel.im or find Man Inn Hotel on Facebook. The ultimate Paloma Faith Tribute Night. You really do get more at the Man Inn.
Hello, I'm Gregory Greenfingers, and today I'm here to tell you all about Green Valley Greenhouses. Now, whether you're an avid gardener or just starting your growing journey, an expertly crafted customizable greenhouse from Green Valley Farm Supplies provides the perfect environment for year-round gardening. And best of all, Green Valley are now taking orders, so be sure to visit greenvalley.co.im to find out more and get in touch today. Green Valley Greenhouses, for your own gardening world.
This Tuesday at 5.30 here on Manx Radio, join Kiri Kermode and Simon Clark for Countryside.
I catch up with David Christian from the World Manx Association, and also I speak to a visitor to the Isle of Man, Rhys Williams.
I speak to a farmer that's been around for many generations involved in the farming, and also the Royal Manx Agricultural Show, plus the fur and feather John Quayle.
That's all in Countryside Tuesday here on Manx Radio at 5.30. And don't forget, you can download and subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Andy dropped me a note to say, regarding yesterday evening's horrendous crossing from Liverpool to the Isle of Man, I think residents and passengers need a statement from the steam packet as to why they felt it was okay to push the safety envelope to the limit. Cars were being smashed on the car decks, certainly indicates sailings were at the limit. Not being a mariner, but having looked at the Met Office forecast yesterday, I was horrified to see the boat was sailing and surprised the captain's decision to sail. Or was he under external pressure to push the limit? I've experienced sailings this year that have even scared myself, and like the rest of my family, I won't use the fast craft again, says Andy. Well, 580 Andy, that is. Well, first thing I can say that the steam packet is under law, statute, to operate within safe limits. So we're presuming. And the fact is, that fast craft was previously an American military fast craft. So it, and we bought it, I think, from the military. So it can operate in all sorts of weather. Now, normally they don't go out in more than a 5, I think it is. I think possibly it was more last night. But anyway, that's Andy's opinion. So were you on the boat last night from Liverpool? Have you recovered from the boat last night? Adam's with us now. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Andy. Can you hear me this time?
Fantastic. What is it one of us not paying our bill? What is it?
Well, it's just a house drake, Andy. What a mess they've made of the headland. And you just wonder, does every headland in the Isle of Man have to have a ruddy great mansion flunked on it?
Oh, is this, you're talking about the old house drake holiday camp, which is being scraped away. Yeah, I saw a couple of diggers scraping away at it at the weekend.
Yeah, what an absolute mess, Andy. And they're going to actually build a millionaire's mansion on it. And what, you know, every Manx headland has to have a millionaire's mansion plunked on it. And it's going to spoil the ambience of the Gradle Glen Railway. You know, it's a lovely little Victorian line, and it had beautiful views across to that headland. And all they needed to do, if anything at all, was plant a few trees on it, a few Scots pine trees or something. And I don't know how they get planning permission for these things. Because
they've
in
had
England,
it. Andrew, I think they've had planning permission for ages. But remember, I mean, House Drake Holiday Camp went decades ago. Nobody wanted anything to do with it.
No, well, it had become overgrown, hadn't it? And it had naturalised, and it was a very beautiful headland. And it will spoil the whole feeling and the ambience of the Gradle Glen Railway. Mm. And in England, when the planners, when you submit a development proposal, you have to do a landscape visual impact assessment. And if the landscape is negatively impacted by the development to such an extent that it's spoiling things which are already there in existence, then they don't get planning permission. So why can't we bring this in the Isle of Man so that it stops? Because the planners, they don't care. They don't have, you know, anybody with the money can just do anything they like in the Isle of Man. And there's absolutely no sort of limitations on hideous developments being spoiling headlands. And, you know, and headlands are very prominent places. So it just seems to me awful. I think it's ridiculous.
But I mean, Adam, something was there already, wasn't it? It's not like there was nothing there. I mean, before, you would never say that House Drake Holiday Camp was a fine, outstanding example of architecture. It was a kind of cobbled together holiday camp. It wasn't what you call beautiful in any way.
I know, but the headland had become beautiful. It had become naturalised and overgrown with bracken and heather, and it was an extremely beautiful headland, and it's a long time since the Housedrake holiday camp was there. So I think they need to consider these things when they're allowing, and I hope it doesn't lead to the spread of houses from Onken out along the road towards Gradle,
right,
along the coast there, because that is a lovely walk, and it's beautiful, and is the heather and the gorse looks lovely in summertime, and I just hope it doesn't lead to further urban sprawl.
Yeah. Well, there's not the much space. The top of King Edward Road there, you go straight down into the sea. There's not much space for houses between the top of there and by Housedrake, is there really?
No, but they'll squeeze them in everywhere. They wanted to build the houses on Switzerland Road behind the Queen's. They're on the right-hand side of Switzerland Road, and there's absolutely no... It's just a sheer cliff face behind the wall, and it's and they wanted to build houses there behind the Queen's, and thank goodness they were stopped. And they've made a right mess at the top of Switzerland Road, where Bellis Architects were supposed to be building another millionaire's mansion at one time, and they knocked all the wall down and everything, and they never built it, but it's just had corporation screens, like, or wire mesh screens,
right,
sat there ever since, and it's, you know, they've never fixed it, or they've never rebuilt the wall or anything. They don't bother fixing it. They're not bothered about the back of the promenade at all, are they? It's supposed to be a conservation zone, but that means nothing. But the second thing I was going to talk about, Andy, is the suicide rate on the Isle of Man. And this Ed's Man Club, which operates at the Methodist Church on Loch Promenade, and also there's a women's version of it, which I presume operates in the same place. But I think it's time that suicide was made public. If somebody commits suicide, it needs to be made public in the papers, because there needs to be transparency involved. Can you hear me, Andy?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Yeah, there needs to be transparency involved, because it's a serious issue, and people need to realise the extent of the problem in the Isle of Man, the very high suicide rate that the island has. And, you know, we need to have a public conversation about why it's happening, and look for patterns, whether it's the same sort of person, the same people in the same demographic group or whatever, who it's affecting all the time.
Well, I mean, Adam, I think we know it's young men. It's mainly young men.
It is young men, but where is it happening? Is it out in the countryside? Is it in the towns? Is it mainly focused in the east or the west of the island? What is the situation with it? And, we need to highlight this issue and find out what the patterns and the people who are being affected are, so that we can address the issue. And I think it needs to be made public. It needs to be in the papers, because there must be a reason. And Andy, if they are genuine suicides, then they've got nothing to hide, you know, and they don't need to romanticise it or talk about it in a way which is promoting it in any way. But they need to offer, they need to tell people who they can call, who they can get in touch with, when they're affected by it.
Well, the thing is, Adam, there is nothing glamorous about suicide. There's nothing, and the fact is, for the people involved, for families, and obviously for the person that it involves, it's the end of a long trail of despair. And the more we can do to get to the bottom of that, that's all to the good. However, most people have no idea how to deal with somebody who's potentially suicidal.
No, it's very sad, isn't it? I mean, people don't have, and it's very difficult to deal with people who have mental health issues, because I've had mental health issues myself, and it's been difficult for my family to deal with it at certain times. We need to have a public discussion about it, and it needs, the shame factor needs to be removed from it by increasing transparency and recognition of the extent to which it's a problem in society and in the Isle of Man in particular.
So, Adam, was that something you ever contemplated?
Yeah, I did contemplate suicide. I used to lie in country lanes and things and hope that somebody would come along and run me over. And I used to lie right on the edge of the cliff and think about rolling over.
So what happened? I never did. What happened, Adam? Well, what was the thought process that brought you back?
Well, to be honest, it was my mother. I couldn't bear the thought of my mother being upset. Because, I mean, I do love my mother. She's a very wonderful woman. I would never go that far, I don't think. So, okay. But, you know, it wouldn't have taken much. At one point, it wouldn't have taken much at all. But I mean, not everybody has family and friends around them. Some people are very isolated and alone. And, but Andy, we do also need to check that they are genuine suicides. And with suicide is not being used, you know, given as a label to deaths which are not suicides but are caused by other third parties, you know, or organised crime or whatever. That's okay. A major concern as well.
All right.
So, yeah.
Adam, I appreciate it, and I, for one, am delighted you made the right choice.
Thank you, Andy. That's very kind of you.
It's 18 minutes now before one. What Adam was referring to is Ed's Man Club. Ed's Man Club is on every Thursday. It's on at 7 o'clock at the Douglas Promenade Methodist Church and also at Ramsey Swimming Pool. It's a confidential peer-to-peer support group for the Isle of Man's men, and it has a mission to address the mental health challenges that affect the male population. Males, particularly young males, predominate in suicide. Attendees at either of the locations at Douglas Methodist Church on the Prom or Ramsey Swimming Pool are asked to arrive by 7 o'clock. And if you want more information, there's a website, Ed's Man Club, EDSMANCLUB, Ed's Man Club, all lowercase, all one word, edsmanclub.im will get you all the details. Back to the phones now, and Juan's with us now. Hi, Juan.
Hey, how are you today, Andy?
Well, fine, thanks. What about yourself?
Well, living the dream, I've been told, but there you go. That's someone else's opinion.
What sort of dream, though?
Did you go... Yeah. Did you go to 1984 at the weekend?
Sadly, I didn't. I gave that a miss.
I believe Jane Poole Wilson stood in as Big Brother, and Dr. Hayward, and they're going for the Manx version of the BAFTA. It's called the DAFTA. Okay. So I don't know. It's going to be a tight one between the two of them. Who gets that? Who's the DAFTA one? Anyway, I'm just listening to Chris Robertshaw there and his points. Very relevant to the conversation last week, that it was Julian, not me, that was speaking with David Quirk. And I have to say, when someone like Julian, who is very, very deep and intense with questioning, that these guys wriggle out of certain questions. Now, I know Alex did the show last week. You didn't do it. And it gets to a certain point where they seem to be protected from certain questions. And these guys, it always seems to me that they've got skin in the game or their nose in the trough in some way or other. And it would be nice, Andy, to have a show for the people on Manx Radio where you've got someone like Julian, who is intense with questioning, and David Quirk, who professes to be the specialist, and obviously they're taking on board everything that he's saying, and maybe someone like Paul Burgess, and have a panel of people to discuss this, because it is a very important and relevant issue. And as Chris has pointed out there, some of the stuff that David Quirk come out with is totally dreamland. You know, just haven't got the money to funnel into that, plus the time factor of setting it up anyway. It would be nice to get an open forum where the people can listen to the cross-questioning rather than just a few sound bites. You know, that's just my thought on that one. Also on the minimum wage, again, I don't know why that they haven't adjusted the tax allowances for people to give people lower rates of people more money to spend. spend in their pocket rather than go down this route. Now, I believe in the UK now they're talking about lowering the VAT threshold. So the VAT is going to kick in a lot sooner for businesses as well. Now, I believe this is being bandied around in the UK. And obviously, I would think because we're linked with them, we would have to follow the same suit. So that's not really good news for business either. It doesn't seem that, you know, government wants to or is helpful to small businesses. And I talking to someone in Treasury who will remain nameless while I was on the island, and they were saying, we're coming after people with second jobs and national insurance and not paying proper national insurance and not paying tax. The people who go to the pub and spend money, the people who go to the shop and keep the economy working, they're coming after them. Now, that was for someone from Treasury, I've got to say. There's going to be no more leeway. We're coming after them because we wouldn't be in this mess if it wasn't for them. Well, I'm pretty sorry, but I think the overspend of government is where your mess is. We've got another a non-starting job that's been advertised again. Business development officer at $66,000 a year. Government just keeps growing. They keep growing, and then they're blaming us, the people who spend the money on the island, for causing the problem. We're living in bizarre times, Andy.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I think that job that was announced... I think it was the head of business development at Business Isle of Man, wasn't it? I think that was a replacement, because I think the lady who was, I think it was at Kiri Guberman, she got promoted to the chief exec of Business Isle of Man. So that's not a new job, that's a replacement job. But I take the point. The fact is that the bureaucracy never, ever seems to shrink.
And this is the thing, Andy. I mean, I give that as an example because that's just come up recently. I mean, there's plenty more. There's plenty more. We could roll the show on, but I don't want to get into that. There's plenty more. Government is growing, and of course, the expense of government is growing, but they have the audacity to turn around and blame the people that live on the island, the people who keep the island going, the people that spend on the island. Okay. Well, they're fritting away so much money, it's unreal. You know, I mean, and then they do audits. And how much is that costing? Us, the taxpayers' money, again, to do an audit on them. And then they take no notice of the audit. I mean, look at the state of Manx carers in at the moment and the suggestions that they've been told, and they haven't taken half of them up. It just buggers belief. And okay. I don't know whether we can hold out till the next election, the way things are going. They're pushing through so much legislation at the moment, obviously to tie things up in case they lose power in the next election. But it's ridiculous. It's out of control. We do need people speaking up. I think Chris Roberts was quite right in what he's saying. We've got people now obviously forming a little association there, Kate Lord Brennan, Julie Edge and so forth, pushing back on some of the madness that's going on. But we have to address this. The island, we're losing the island slowly. And I mean, all we've got to do is look at the UK and see where this slippery slope is that they're heading down. And I'm very concerned of where they're heading with this, Andy. Okay. I really am.
Well, at least you've got the sunshine. We've got the flipping weather here.
Got the sunshine at the moment, I've got to say.
Thanks, Julie. Good to hear from you, June. Thanks a lot.
Whatever your business, whatever its size, you can always rely on the island's leading fuel and oil supplier to keep you moving. Ellen Vannin Fuels, powering the island and powering industry. Call us on 844-000.
November is Will Writing Month, and Callan Wild has teamed up with Site Matters to make a real difference. In November, you can have your will professionally written at a reduced rate, with a single will £200 plus VAT and a joint will £300 plus VAT, with £100 going directly to support the work of Site Matters. It's a simple way to plan for the future while helping others today. Call Callan Wild on 623 195 and claim your will writing with Site Matters.
You've worked hard all morning in IT, doing computery things, or in retail, assisting ungrateful customers, or doing whatever it is you lovely people do. But now, it's lunchtime, and you, my friend, deserve something special. from Smash and Fry. Take your lunch to a new level with our delicious pizzas, fried chicken, smash burgers and milkshakes. Lunchtime is your time. Visit Smash and Fry, Duke Street, Douglas. You deserve it.
Need help with your business finances? Nicola Bowker & Co. has helped hundreds of businesses achieve a firm financial footing. Here to guide you to financial success. Contact Nicola Bowker, accountants and tax advisors to businesses on the Isle of Man.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week with daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion. We can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
9 minutes before one. Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. About the Manx.net thing, one of the two things I'd like to talk about quick.
Yeah.
You can change your email address on Isle of Man Bank quite easily. You'll have to go on the desktop of a computer, log in, and have your little calculator thing that they supply you with that you put your card in. And you'll have to go into My Account, and then you go down to your details, and you just click on the email, and you can just type in your new one. They ask for a code, and you put the thing in, and away it goes. So that works a treat if you don't want to have to go in the bank for that. Just on with what Julian and Chris have been saying. The other day I was talking about some of the pumped hydro systems. This is mentioned in a not peer-reviewed paper that Dr. David Quirk and Ralph Peake wrote, which is called Can the Isle of Man Power Itself with Renewable Energy? If you actually look at what they're talking about with this, if you look at the going rate for somewhere like the Isle of Man, which of course, the economies of scale, it's an awful lot, because Cystiniog and Dinorwic, for example, they already had lakes, so you're going to have to blast and do the equivalent of 800 Olympic 50-metre swimming pools worth of water, like two West Baldwin lakes, to do this. as a rough rule, if you wanted to run the island for a day, it's going to cost $1,000 million. So it's basically $1 billion a day if you were going to scale it. So one of the longest Dunkelflaute sort of, you know, dull days like we've had recently was in March of 2021. And that was 11 days where there was no wind and no solar. So you've always got to kind of work to what could be the worst. So you're probably looking, if you were going to do it for real and make sure that you had enough water, you're going to have to increase the size of that thing to 11 billion and 11 of them.
Where would we put them? Where would we do it?
Well, you'd have to have, I mean, roughly speaking, there's about 1,000 feet above each other, and they can't be more than a couple of kilometres side to side away from each other, so that you've got the right slope and the height. So you've got to get that height up to get the flow of the water going enough that it's not too hard, but it's not too light either. You've got to have that right thing. So you'd have to be up on the mountain. I mean, it would be, I don't know. I mean, it's a huge project.
And what's your opinion? What's your opinion of the feasibility of this?
Well, it looks impossible. And what are you going to do with 2 million cubic yards of silt? I mean, it's already bad enough just from the bits of mining that ended up in Peel in the harbour there. But if you're going to be, I mean, some of the paper is describing caverns. I mean, you know, it cost 80 million for the ferry terminal. I mean, what's that going to cost to hollow out something that's going to be like a big cavern somewhere? Yeah. Maybe
but,
two
I mean,
of them.
We did put together the Sulby Reservoir.
Yeah. But you're going to have another one of those 1,000 feet below to catch the water. And when you're pumping, because it's uphill, you've got 25% interest on the energy. So every time you pump back up, you've got to put a quarter extra in every time you pump it back up again. Where's all that going to come from in a decarbonized world? I mean, you've got to have some serious power. I mean, Cystiniog, the pump that they use to pump back up the hill is what Pullrose uses flat out in the wintertime when it's going like the clappers. So where's that power coming from if you haven't got any fossil fuels anymore? Okay. I mean, I'd like to know how that's going to work. Anyway, thanks, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Julie said, I'm going to give you this and make of this what you will. I'm just going to read this out. It's from Judy, and she said, very brave of Adam to come on and talk about his experiences. I've recently become aware of the role of medication in suicide. I feel that a campaign similar to the one that could be sepsis could be rolled out in the hospital and to our health professionals. There are numerous everyday medications which unfortunately can cause a bad reaction, leading to possible psychiatric issues. Antibiotics like ciprofloxacin and doxycycline are two, and then some antidepressants themselves. If a new medication has been prescribed, a change of dose or stopping this could be the cause of somebody developing tendencies which may lead to possible suicide. The campaign wouldn't cost much. It could save lives. Well, that's certainly something to consider, Judy, and we appreciate it. This is not a flippant subject. It's one that we should take very seriously, and I'm very grateful for Adam for bringing it up and for sharing his experiences. Sadly, we didn't get to the campaign from Cura about the cheaper broadband. I'll roll that out tomorrow. We'll talk about that. Fortnight today, Michelle Hayward's going to be on again. The DOI Minister, Michelle Hayward MHK, will be on. Next Thursday, a week on Thursday, we're live at Ramsey Grammar School with the students. So a week on Thursday, Ramsey Grammar School. And a fortnight today, it's Michelle Hayward. Remember, if you want to get in touch with Man in Line Out of Hours, the answer phone's always on, 682 631, or the email out of hours is maninline@manxradio.com. So, have you been charged for that Manxnet change of address yet? Tell me if you haven't. Oh, thanks to Howie on the phones today. WINT.